Just remain standing. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 7. Thank God for that wonderful, wonderful day, as it said, when at the cross I believed. I do believe that something, I believe salvation is a recognition of sin. Salvation is a recognition that the price was paid on Calvary. I believe there's a trip to Calvary, maybe not physically, but spiritually. A trip to Calvary is a necessity for somebody to get saved. Amen. And there's got to be, as I said, a recognition of sinfulness. There's a song that talks about, and I can't get it in my head to come to me, but it talks about there at Calvary, trembling as a sinner, trembling at the cross, love and mercy found me. Amen. And I'm glad the law condemned me, but the cross gave me hope. Amen. Christ saved me by His grace. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 15 is our text again for this morning. And Lord willing, this will be our final time in this particular text of these verses. Verse 15 through verse 20. Still dealing with false prophets, particularly Christ's counsel concerning prophets. He's given us a counsel. And in the concept of all this, remember that He's dealing with discernment. That's what this whole chapter, judging, proper judgment. Be careful not to give that which is holy to the dogs or cast your pearls before the swine. Being careful to ask God and ask Him for the correct things. Be careful to enter into the correct path and escape the wrong path. And now He's talking about be careful with people. Amen. Verse number 15, again of our text, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Let me find my place. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in a prayer, please? Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been looking at this message now for some time. This will be the fourth message on this particular text. I preached two messages on the first four words of verse 15, "Beware of false prophets." And then the most recent was on Sunday night. I preached on the whole 15th verse as He went into their sheep's clothing, their outward appearance, and yet their inward character. Outward clothing, trying to cover or cloak or conceal an inward character. And our Lord dealt with several things. I mentioned four things that we'd be dealing with, and I dealt with three of those. And so I mentioned that the fourth one would be later. Today is the day. We talked about their disguise, their deception, and their discovery. Now, our Lord gives us several statements in this text that are very important, very, very clarifying statements about these false prophets. And as I said, it's all based on this. He's continuing, I think, the line of spiritual discernment. Walking with your eyes open. It really goes all the way back into the sixth chapter where he talks about your eye being single. That you got your focus on heavenly things, not on worldly things. That you're not looking just at temporal things, but you're looking for eternal things. And by the way, there are movements that in the temporal world look very wonderful, but in the long view of things, they're not very good. As a matter of fact, they're very dangerous and deceptive. And so our Lord's carrying that thought continually on. Now, Christ mentioned in this text the mask of their disguise. And then He mentioned the meaning of that is deception. And also He mentioned the matter of their discovery. You can see what they are. It will come out. Amen. Brother W.W. Burns, older man of God, he's older when I met him, and he's passed away now, but W.W. Burns would say this, was very, very well known for saying that God will show what a man is before he gets out of this world. Amen. Some men seem to stay concealed to the end, but somewhere along the lines that cover is going to come off. Amen. Now, today I want to preach on this fourth point, and I've called it the manner of their detection. The manner, the way that we can detect them, particularly verse number 16. The beginning of that, the first words, he said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He's saying, you can detect them. He said that again in verse number 20. "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Verse 16 and verse 20 are bookends to the rest of these verses that are saying the same thing, but it's saying there is a way to determine what these men are. And again, I say this, I think it's important to notice that our Lord's using very pictorial language. He spoke in parables, but it's a parable is a story that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Maybe it is it's a story that is very easily understood, and yet there are hidden nuggets of truth, chunks of gold, jewels of rare quality that are involved in these beautiful words that our Lord uses. He uses this pictorial language to draw an obvious picture to us, and I don't believe you can fail to see the Lord's point. He's telling us that when examining a religious teacher or a religious leader, and again, I go back to saying it doesn't have to be the preacher in the pulpit. It could be a mother or father in the home. It could be a friend on the job. It could be an author on a television or in a magazine or in a book. It could be a lot of, wherever they are that they're doing some kind of religious leading, he's telling us that you cannot go so much by the clothing they wear. But you notice the creeds, what they believe, what they hold dear to their heart. You notice the character and the conduct of these men. And so I believe he's saying that you can tell more if you'll watch their conduct, because their conduct will reveal their character. And their character is a product of their creed. It's a product. You are a product of what you believe. Amen. I'll give a very simple illustration of that real quickly. I knew a case of a woman that had been diagnosed with cancer. They said she had a short time to live. I mean, just a matter of weeks that they thought she had left to live. And she went home and pulled out a revolver and stuck it to her husband's head and said, "Now I can kill you. I can do what I've always wanted to do because I'll escape judgment." Now that woman was a member of an independent Baptist church. That woman claimed to believe in God, claimed to be a Christian. She didn't believe that. Or she would have not thought, she would not have believed she's going to escape judgment. She's fixing to face the judge. I mean, the doctor said, "You got days and you're going to face the judge." And she don't believe she's going to face the judge, because if she did, she would not have thought, "I can kill." She didn't kill her husband, thank God. Amen. But she did die and she faced the judge. And everybody will one day. Amen. But my point is this, your, what you believe will affect what you become. It affects how you behave. It affects your character. And that, in turn, affects your conduct. The way, again, that gets behavior involved there. But so it's belief affects what you become, and it affects what you, how you behave. And so our Lord said there's a manner of detecting these people that reveals their character. Now, let me say this about, I said you can't tell by their clothing. Now, if they are dressing immodestly, or even immoderately with fancy, flashy, over-expensive things. I said that on a day when I wear a tie like this. If it becomes obvious that they're trying to draw attention to themselves and those things are obvious, sometimes you can tell what's in a person's heart by the clothing they wear. Amen. Amen. You can get a pretty good idea. But our Lord's dealing with somebody that is attempting to conceal that. They're wearing a cloak. They're wearing a disguise. And so He's saying, here's some people that are pretending to be a sheep. They're pretending, they're donning the attire of a sheep. But in their heart, in their nature, they're still a wolf in character. A ravening wolf. They still have that nature. And so Christ then goes from the animal kingdom to talk about the plant kingdom. And He says, by their fruits ye shall know them. So He gives us the analogy of fruit-bearing trees. How these trees display their character and their nature by the fruit that they produce. Amen. Now, a person attempting to identify a particular tree might be confused by just looking at the leaves, could be confused by looking at the bark, could be confused by looking at the flowers on the tree or the branches on the tree, different things about that. But when you see the fruit, you know what kind of tree it is. Amen. The proof positive that identifies the tree is the fruit. For example, an apple tree produces apples. When it's in bloom, it may look like a peach tree. It may look like a pear tree. It may look like an orange tree. It may look like a multitude of fruit trees. It may smell in a way that you don't really know for sure. The size and the shape of the tree, the foliage, I'm saying all those things may be deceptive, but when those apples appear, you know it's not an orange tree. Amen. Whatever, you name the different kinds of fruit trees that they are. And the fruit identifies the tree. And so our Lord says, look at the fruit of these men's lives. If they are bad men, if they are unprincipled, if they're selfish, if they act in private, at variance to their public show, our Lord says they're bad men. Pay no regard to their teaching. Amen. Because the fruit identifies the tree. Amen. Seems very obvious to me that our Lord's laying down some principles and some general rules about discerning the validity of a religious leader. Now, I want to say that that does not negate the fact that we are human. Whether the leader or the follower, we're humans. We may make mistakes. We do make mistakes. As a matter of fact, the phrase, when our Lord said a good tree, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I've heard men say, does that mean that a good man can't mess up? No, that's not at all what it means. But it means that when you see, when the truth of his life comes out, it'll be the truth of his life. It won't be that he's able to deceive, that he's able to disguise what is the truth that comes out on his life. Amen. We do make mistakes, but here's the thing too. When we're inspecting fruit, when we're trying to make a judgment, we got to remember we're still human. Amen. We're still human. We may be misled. We may be deceived. Amen. Even with this information given to us by the Savior, we may make an error or be confused in our judgment. We might write somebody off too readily. Right? Or we might overlook some telltale signs. Maybe because of friendship. Maybe because of others that are friends and associates. A lot of different reasons. Maybe because of our own emotions and whatever. Maybe our own preconceived ideas. Whatever it is, we may turn them off too quickly, or we may not turn them off when we should turn them off. I'm simply saying that we got to be careful that we don't put ourselves as the judge. Our Lord's given us some idea how to discern and tell us how serious it is, but we got to be careful that we don't just use our own reason, that we judge proper judgment, as our Lord has told us already in the text before. Amen. Now, let me say this as I come into this, detecting these men and the manner of detecting them. There's confusion in the religious world. It has been for a long time. Confusion in this world that you have to take people at their word. I ended my message, I think it was on Sunday night, with you don't have to take their word for it. You need to take God's word for it. Amen. People can claim a lot of claims. They can say a lot of things. That doesn't make it so. We don't have to be an ostrich with our head in the sand. We don't have to wander around in darkness. Matter of fact, when you got saved, there was an enlightenment that took place. You were in darkness when you was lost. We're not in darkness anymore since we're saved. Amen. We're not supposed to walk in darkness. We're supposed to walk in light. God brought us out of the darkness and into light. And I've got a number of verses. Look at Matthew chapter number 4, just back a couple of pages. And Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 16, it's a fulfillment of a prophecy. Here's the prophecy. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Amen. In Luke chapter number 1, you don't have to turn, verse 78 and 79, it's talking about John the Baptist and him preceding Christ and the prophecy Christ would fulfill. He said, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Praise God. And so it takes an enlightening from the Holy Ghost. It takes an enlightening from God's Word. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. Amen. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So many things that we could say. It takes the Spirit of God and the Word of God to enlighten man to the truth. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 18. Paul's given his testimony before King Agrippa. He says in verse number 18 of this testimony, Acts 26, 18, is this what God had told him he's going to use them for? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. He's to bring them out of darkness. That's what the gospel does. Amen. That's what gospel preaching is supposed to do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. God commanded the light to shine out. That light showed us the way out. Thank God. Amen. And God brought us out by His mercy and by His grace. First Peter chapter number 2, one more. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm simply saying that a spiritual birth brings an enlightenment. You're not in darkness anymore. No need to walk in darkness. Our Lord is showing us We can walk in the light. We need to walk with our eyes open since we're in the light. Amen. All right, First Peter chapter number 2. And, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. So we're walking in the light. And you know all those verses that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. 1 John 1:7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. The idea is that God brought us out of that darkness. I'm simply saying Christ gives us an enlightenment that we don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to be blinded to the false prophets and the frauds and the fakes and the phonies that are out there. Amen. Amen. But walking in the light must be continual. He brought us out of darkness and put us in the light. But our job is to walk in the light. He doesn't just say, be in the light. He says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. Over and over he talks about, here's the light, here's the way, walk ye in it. Amen. The idea is it's got to be a continual walk, or else we may drift back into darkness. Our mind can be clouded with the things of sin. When you get away from church, when you get away from God, when you get away from Bible reading, when you get away from communion with God, the devil starts infiltrating your mind again. And if you're not careful, your feet will wind back up in darkness. I'm not talking about being lost. But I'm talking about you get to a place you can't even see. And he talks about you can be blinded. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 5, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to come back to Matthew in a minute. But Hebrews chapter number 5. There's a statement here that deals with what I'm dealing with very, very well, very clearly. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 11. Now he's building up Christ as the high priest, better than Aaron, even better than Melchizedek. And so that's the order that he's got here. Verse number 11 of Hebrews 5, and I read down through the chapter. He said, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, look at this phrase now, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. To discern both good and evil. He says you have your senses exercised. What senses is he talking about? Are these spiritual senses? Sure they are. But he's talking about spiritual hearing. You're dull of hearing. He's talking about spiritual seeing. You can't see spiritual things. He's talking to saved people. People have been brought out of darkness into light. And yet he said, if you don't exercise that, you will not grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will not grow in that spiritual discernment. Listen, it takes the grace of God for you to discern where you were when you was lost. It takes, just to realize where I'm at is an enlightenment of God. Amen. And it's the grace of God for Him to show you that. But if you're not careful, once you get saved, you can forget where you are now and what you're supposed to be doing now and drift back into those dull, dark, dreary days of the past. And I believe there's a danger of that in our materialistic world that we're living in. Amen. So I believe we see in the text here, Hebrews chapter 5, that spiritual senses must be exercised in order for us to be able to properly discern between good and evil. For us to be able to say, that's evil. Listen, we're living in a day, there's things that is just patently evil and people cannot see that. And you wonder, how can they not see that? Then there are things that's just patently good and they can't see what's good. Amen. Well, we need to grow in the Lord. We need to walk. We need to learn our Bible. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to fellowship with God. We need to learn to walk with God. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Those things will help us have proper discernment concerning spiritual things. Now, I'm back to my text in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16 particularly. He's talking about fruit. But you got to see it. You got to have spiritual senses to see it. If the fruit you're looking for is success, you can be very easily deceived. If the fruit you're looking for is charisma, you can be very easily deceived. If the fruit you're looking for is popularity, is a suaveness, I mean just a real ability, how to win friends and influence people, if that's what you're looking for, you can be easily deceived. Brother Richard Owen says this, and I think he's right. He said there's probably not one B actor in Hollywood. You understand what a B actor is? It's a lowercase, not a top of the line actor. It's a second rate actor. They're all less than second rate, to be honest with you. And let me plug this. So I said that in that little joke. I'll go back to the actor in a minute. I got a phone call the other day. I told my wife about it. I got a phone call on my phone. It was one of those. It was from a local number. And it was a recording thing. And when I answered the phone, it said, "This is important." It says, "Are you paying too much for your television service?" I said, "Nope." And hung the phone up. I don't have a television service, so I'm not paying too much for it. But here's what I told her. Everybody that does have a television service is paying too much for it. In money and maybe in other things. Amen. But so these B actors, here's what Brother Owen said. He said there's probably not a B actor in Hollywood that couldn't get up and preach. They could take my notes and preach my sermon better than I can as far as listeners are concerned. But they can't have the Spirit of God that we have. Amen. They could have it, but they can't with the lifestyle they're living and the beliefs they have. Amen. Amen. So the point I'm saying is this, that you got to be careful that you're not discerning on just a fleshly level. So our Lord's going into this now. Dealing with fruit, the statement that He said, watch for the fruit. It seems to me to indicate that it's not required that you have a degree in theology to be able to tell an apple from an orange. Amen. I don't think that you have to have memorized the whole Bible in order to be able to tell a fake when he's reading the wrong Bible. Amen. There's some things that he's saying here that should be obvious, and I think that's exactly what he's saying. In other words, you don't have to have some, and there's some things you don't even have to have a lot of spiritual sense. Just a little common sense. Just a little common sense would say, these guys are not what they claim to be. They're not what they're supposed to be. Their fruit is not right. So you ought to be able to spot a fake in that. And there's some things that common sense ought to allow you to be able to see through some of these false prophets that peddle their religious shyster techniques. Amen. Christ, again, says this in pictorial language, verse 16. Look at it again. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Here it is. Do men gather grapes of thorns? That's preposterous, isn't it? Of course not. A rose bush has thorns, but a grapevine does not. Amen. Blackberry canes have thorns, but a grapevine does not. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? It's as if our Lord was saying, who do you know that goes to the blackberry bushes looking for grapes? To paraphrase the lady that I used to pastor, surely you got better sense than that. That's what she'd say. I mean, just surely you got better sense than that. That's what our Lord's saying. You don't know anybody that's that dumb. Really, that's what he's saying. You don't know anybody that goes looking for grapes on thorn bushes. You don't know anybody that's so dumb that they're going looking for figs on some kind of a thistle tree. It ain't happening. Amen. So he's saying you ought to know better. You don't even have to pray about something that simple. That's what he's saying. Amen. Now, having said that, that does not mean that we don't need to pray about who we follow. But it is saying that sometimes we need to use some common sense as well. It simply means that God gave us a brain. God gave us two eyes. God gave us two ears. It'd do us good to use them. In spiritual things, you don't have to come in blindfolded. Amen. You don't have to come in blindfolded. Melissa pulled up something yesterday that somebody we know that's involved in this quote-unquote church, and it was their music that they was playing, and I didn't see it, didn't need to see it. I'm sure they was acting seductively, just like what I preached about before, but their music was nothing more than revamped rock and roll music. That's all it was. In a quote-unquote church setting, listen, I don't have to pray about that. No need for me to pray about that. I've got two good eyes. I've got two good ears. I've got a brain. Amen. No need to go to the thorn bush expecting to find grapes. Amen. No need to go to the thistle tree expecting to find figs. Amen. And so, he's not saying that we don't have to pray, but he's saying that there's some things that's simple enough. But he's... that you could be able to reason out. But he's saying we should pray about the messages we hear. And we shouldn't automatically suspect religious leaders of being a fraud. But we also shouldn't expect to find grapes growing on thorns. And we shouldn't expect to find figs growing on thistles. Amen. Amen. Well, one thing I noticed that he brings up, you notice the fruit that he says you're looking for are good fruit. You're looking for good fruit. That's what he said. You're looking for grapes. You're looking for figs. You're finding thorns and you're finding thistles. It's not that you went looking for thorns and thistles. You're just looking for something good. Amen. You ever been in a restaurant and you was disappointed with what they had? You didn't go in there looking for disappointing food, was you? You probably went there looking for something good. Amen. Don't come to church expecting to be disappointed. When you hear somebody's coming and you say, well, I don't know them, so I ain't going to expect nothing much out of that. That's the wrong attitude to have. You ought to come looking for grapes. You ought to come looking for figs. And if a thorn bush shows up, say, well, I know I don't have to look for no grapes there. There ain't going to be none. Amen. Amen. Well, he's telling us about these fruits. Now, think about this, these grapes and figs. Two of the most important and valuable fruits growing in Israel at that time. Two of the most valuable and important fruits of in their own digestive, in their own eating. It's medicinal. I mean, you got the fig. You remember they laid that poultice of fig leaves on Hezekiah, was it? Or one of the men, and he recovered. Was it Hezekiah? One of them, anyway. And the figs, they used that as a medicinal thing. And grapes, they got the juice, they call wine. I don't think it's talking about fermented wine, but you got that in medicinal use as well as food, real good quality food that he's talking about here. And so they're very important things. They're very valuable things in the land of Israel. And here's what I want to say. We're looking for spiritual things. I'm not looking for somebody that's suave. I'm not looking for somebody that has charisma. I'm not looking for somebody that has success in the world. By the way, that's why I don't need to bring an ex-football player in here to brag about how he found Christ. His success on the football field did not help him find Christ. Now, it might impress some boys, it might impress some people about his prowess and his ability and his dedication and all that. That might impress people, but I'm talking about when I'm looking for something spiritual. Amen. Spiritual things are what are valuable things. Spiritual things are what are important things. I'm looking for those things when I go to the house of God. Amen. When you hear a song, listen, when you hear a song, don't go looking at how it's performed or looking at how all the ability that is behind that and things such as that. Look for something spiritual in those things. That's what's valuable. That's what's important. Amen. But, he said, you're looking for spiritual and valuable things, and instead you're finding harmful and hurtful things. Thorns and thistles. Rather than fruitful, they're harmful. It brings forth the point about the harm that's inflicted by these false prophets. He said they raven. They have that ferocious attitude and attack and hurt and harm, stab and prick and cling to. That's what these are like. He's as a wolf, and in the vegetable world, like thorns and like thistles. As thorns, they prick and stick and scratch and bring forth pain and bleeding. As thistles, they infiltrate unknowingly and prick and puncture at random and at unexpected places and times. You ever got a cocoa burr and you didn't know you had it stuck to you till you sat down, for example? All of a sudden they got a burr under their saddle. That burr under the saddle didn't hurt the fella on the saddle, except that it hurt the horse under the saddle, and the horse hurt the man on the saddle. Amen. That's what burrs do. My point is this: false prophets hurt a lot of different areas and a lot of secretive ways in time. So he's talking about them in this case, these characters, these natures of these men, what that shows forth. Like thorns, these false prophets are harsh. They're abrasive. They're penetrating. Like thistles, they cling tenaciously to your person and your clothing. They infiltrate your home and surroundings. By the way, you know why a thistle attaches to your clothes? That thistle has seeds inside. Birds eat fruit and carry the seeds off and deposit them, fertilizer and all. God's got a unique plan, buddy. An environmentalist didn't come up with it, and a scientist didn't come up with it. God did. But they'll eat that fruit, they'll deposit that seed with the fertilizer, and it'll grow somewhere. But birds don't eat cuckleburrs. But I'll tell you what cuckleburrs will do. They'll stick to clothing, they'll stick to hair, mat on animals and things such as that. And that animal will carry it off and discard those seeds somewhere else. False prophets have a way of infiltrating and laying out seeds all through your family, all through your life, all through your conduct. So many things, they have ways. That's those thistle plants that he's talking about are these false prophets. Amen. Now, thorn bushes and thistle plants are primarily fruitless. They don't produce anything important. They don't produce anything tasty. They don't produce anything beneficial. They don't produce anything nutritious or wholesome. Their fruit is prickly and injurious. Amen. He said that's how you'll tell the false prophet. Look at his fruit. Now there's another important note about this parabolic language our Lord uses here about these false prophets. I believe it's got something that tells us here. They may say some good things. You might... listen to this. I don't remember which commentator I read this from. He didn't go into detail, but just a note. And it sparked a thought. I think it's James Hamilton. It sparked a thought in my mind. You may accidentally find a thorn bush somewhere that's got a grape stuck on it. It could happen. If there's a grapevine growing nearby and the grape falls or somebody drops it or whatever, and perhaps there's a grape stuck on a thorn bush, Once in a while, a false prophet might say something good, but he didn't generate it. He didn't produce that good fruit. He picked it up somewhere else and stuck it on to get you stuck with the thorn. Amen. It's put on. That's something to look at. It is put on. There's a lot of people that come in. I mean, but they can carry a King James Bible, boy. They can dress the right way. They can talk. They can comb their hair the right way. They can talk. All kinds of stuff. They got it. But it's not from their character. It's not what they want. It's not of their nature. It is put on so that they can disguise their thorns.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says, you got to be careful. The thing that's growing there might have been put on. Thistle tree might have a fig, but somebody stuck it on there. It wasn't produced by the tree. Amen. Well, our Lord declares that you can detect the fruit, and that fruit determines the tree. Thus, the fruit of false prophets declares him to be false. Amen. His fruit is no good. Therefore, he is no good. That's the inference that he's saying there. Look again at our text. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. I'll just read 16 through 19. Ye know, or ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Excuse me. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Let me read 20. Therefore, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So our Lord says, his fruit's no good. He's prickly. He's stabbing. He's harmful. So he says, don't go expecting to get something good from him. Amen. Don't go expecting to get something nutritious from it. You got more sense than to go to the thorn bush to get grapes, then don't go to the false prophet. You know him to be false. Amen. Don't coddle false prophets. Reject them. Here's what he said, verse 19. Here's, he's ending it up. And I said verse 20 is that the book end that tells this is how you know them. But verse 19, look what he said about the tree. What are you going to do with those trees that are not good? Those trees that don't bring forth good fruit. Those trees that bring forth thorns and thistles. What are you going to do with them? He said, cut them down and cast them in the fire. That's exactly what he said. Amen. They're not to be... Well, let me say this first of all. Let me back up. You don't climb a thorn tree. You don't play in a thorn tree. You stay away. Are you listening to me? There's some things you don't need to listen to. There's some things you don't need to watch. There's some people you don't need to hang around. There's some people you don't need to play with. You need to stay away from them. Amen. Amen. But not only you don't play in it, you don't put it out in your yard and admire the beauty of it. Well, at least I got some shade. Yeah, but you got thorns everywhere. You got thistles everywhere. So he's saying, you don't keep it around just for old time's sake. You don't put it out there just for the beauty of it and just for the little good. No, he said, what you do is cut that thing down and throw it in the fire. Amen. He's saying, you don't coddle sin. You don't play around with sin. A lot of people have been duped and deceived and even damned because of the false doctrine that's spread by these false prophets. You know what these false prophets are? They're headed to the fire. Our Lord's saying that pretty boldly. They're headed to the fire. It's eternal fire. Amen. Now, in closing, I want to warn you. Not only that false prophets have increased in number and they've increased in ability, I want to warn you of the danger of neglecting truth. Because when you neglect truth, you automatically open yourself up to error. Amen. When you neglect truth, you automatically propensity. That's it. You have more of a propensity to angle towards that is wrong because you've turned away from that which is right. You're turned out of the way. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's a doctrine of the Bible. It's very dangerous and scary doctrine. When I first saw this, I remember years ago, it made a mark in my life and I've never forgotten it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. He's talking about Timothy, he's charged him to preach the word, and of course he's talking about time's going to come and not going to endure. That's where we're at, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But what are they going to do then? They're going to live in their own lust. Why is that? Because their lust is what's kept them from enduring sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And look at this. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When you turn your ear away from the truth, God makes sure that you're turned to fables, to things that don't even make sense, to fairy tales and made up stories. That's what he's saying. You're turned away from the truth. So be careful. Here's the danger, and this is what I'm preaching about. Not only recognize false prophets, but recognize truth and relish truth when you find it. Go looking for some grapes. Go looking for some figs. Go looking for some good fruit. Amen. Don't turn away from the good fruit when it's laid out there. Amen. Don't turn your ears away from the truth when it is faithfully preached to you. Or else you'll believe lies that are peddled by the devil and his devils. False prophets. You remember in our study, Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus was commended by Christ. I touched on this some time back. They were commended by Christ that they had tried them that claimed to be apostles and had found them liars. But they also had a problem. Not only a commendation, but a condemnation. They had found some men to be liars, but they had left their first love. The truth wasn't as precious to them as it had been at one time. The truth wasn't as important to them as it had been one time. Amen. And here's what our Lord said. In Revelation chapter number 2, that church at Ephesus, He said, if you don't relish the truth, if you don't repent and get back to your first love, I'm going to turn the light out on you. I'm going to remove your candlestick and you'll be in the dark. Amen. There's another story in Revelation chapter number 3. Another church, a church at Sardis. Again, commended for some things. But here's what he said in verse number 2, Revelation chapter number 3. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Amen. I'm simply saying this and I'm closing. It's not good enough just not to listen to false prophets. You gotta purposefully listen to truth. You've gotta purposefully go looking for some grapes and go looking for some figs and get in your Bible and know the truth. They stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Are you doing that? Are you seeking fruit from God? Are you seeking food from God? I'm talking about spiritual food. Valuable, nutritious, important spiritual things. What do you want in life? I remember years ago when I was a boy, there's a family left Vision. My dad was a pastor then. There's a family left Vision because we didn't have a softball team. They wanted their kids to play softball. So they joined the Southern Baptist Church where they played softball. Let me ask you, what's more important? King James Bible preaching? Raising your kids on the King James Bible? Or take them somewhere where they ain't going to get the Bible, but they're going to get a softball. I'll tell you what's more important. Spiritual things. Spiritual food. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. Our Lord Jesus instructing us how to detect, the manner in which to detect these false prophets. Father, I pray help me and help this congregation to be spiritually alert. Help us to have our senses, our spiritual senses exercised by walking in the Spirit, by growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by reading our Bible, by prayer, by communicating with God and fellowshipping with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Father, help us that we might be exercised, that we can see correctly and make proper discernments. Lord, help us to go looking for some nourishment, some truth that's valuable and important. Lord, I pray that somebody may have heard the truth this morning and need to respond to it. Lord, I pray you'd move on them in that case. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you while we sing, you obey the Lord. 162, page 162. We're going to sing and you obey the Lord.